David Kaplan is a voice of Chicago sports, and he's on WGNRadio.com right now.
I've always wanted to interview Mark Emmert. It's just tough to get the president of the NCAA to just say, oh, yeah, I'll come on a talk radio show. He's agreed to do it tonight. We welcome him now to the David Kaplan Show on WGN Radio. Mark, how you doing tonight?
I'm very well. How are you guys?
We are doing very well, and we're the home of Northwestern Athletics. And through our Wildcat Insider, we get a chance to talk to you. Will we ever see the day that players will be allowed to go to the pros whenever they want? You know, in baseball, I think if you don't go out of high school, you got to either get a junior college degree or go 3 years at a major university. Football, I think it's after your junior year, but basketball, you got to play 1 year. Will we ever see a uniform standard, or, you know what, you want to go after a year, good luck to you?
Yeah, well, you know, it's hard to predict because those are all rules that are embedded in the professional sports. Those aren't NCAA rules. Those are the time in which somebody can leave college and go to the NFL or the NBA or Major League Baseball. Those are embedded in the contracts between the players' unions and the owners. So for better and for worse, we don't have anything to say about it. We all get a little frustrated with some of those rules. I'm no fan of one and done in basketball, but you know, I think we ought to provide young men and women as many opportunities as they want. If their dream is to go play professional sport, then we ought to support him in doing that. I've never thought it made sense to force somebody, if you will, to go to college when they really don't want to, but what they really want to do is go play in the NBA or in hockey or wherever it is, and let's let them do that. Let's provide them the opportunity.
What are the challenges you would say are facing the NCAA at the present? Because, you know, you have your hands full, and it seems like the NCAA is made up, correct me if I'm wrong, of the member institutions, yet people always go, the NCAA did this, the NCAA did that. It's really the schools that make up the NCAA, correct?
Yeah, that's right. It's always one of those interesting debates that we have that, you know, people think of the NCAA like we're a sports league, like the NBA or the NFL, when in fact they need to think more about the United Nations, right? So there's 1,100 colleges and universities that make up the NCAA. They all get together to make the rules and to enforce those rules. And my job is a lot more like Ban Ki-moon, you know, Secretary General of the UN, than it is Roger Goodell. But, you know, it's a complicated process. It's a bit like watching Congress make rules. I know that's ugly a metaphor, but it's kind of the right metaphor. And so it's a complex process. It's the universities and colleges coming together to govern and oversee their athletic commitments and their programs. And it's worked remarkably well despite all the problems we've had. We get a lot of problems. We got a lot of issues to resolve. But, you know, it's been around for 100 years, and it works pretty darn well when you look at the outcome for, in fact, the 460,000 students that that play NCAA sports.
Mark, I've always thought that there should be a major called athletics. I mean, a lot of people go to school. I got a psychology degree. People go to school all the time. They major in communications. They don't end up in broadcasting. They're 18-year-old kids. They don't know what they want to do. A lot of these guys, they're dreaming of the NBA or the NFL or wherever. You could have the sport. You could have learning how to handle your money, economics.
Life skills.
Social media, all that. Just have it be a major. Has that ever come across your desk?
Well, first of all, you've got to stop and say, okay, what's the probability that a student athlete's going to wind up as a professional athlete? So there's 460,000 kids that play NCAA sports. Of those, less than 1% will ever play professionally. And so, you know, you've seen our ads, more than 400,000 kids who go pro in something other than sports. It's not just a tagline, it's true. So what we want to do and what the association's committed to and all the members, all the universities, and Northwestern's a great example of that, the huge majority of the kids, they want to go to school, they want to get a degree in something that's going to be their profession. They're not going to be professional athletes. They're going to be doctors and lawyers and teachers and accountants and all the other and radio commentators. You know, they're going to do all those things. And so they need to have opportunities to get ready to be successful in life. The NCAA is all about helping young people be successful on the court or on the field, in the classroom and in life. And for that very small portion that want to be professional athletes, I don't think we do anywhere near enough to help them get ready for what it means to be a professional athlete. We know that something on the order of 60 or 70% of NBA and NFL players wind up going bankrupt before they're done. They make a lot of money, and then they're not successful in the rest of their career in managing that money. We all have an obligation to help them get better at that. So do we have to help them get ready for life? Yeah, you're absolutely right. Should that be a major in sports? No, I don't think so, but it certainly means we need to help them with life skills, with all the things that they need to be strong young men and women as they launch onto a career that can be very demanding in athletics. But that's a very, very small portion of the number of kids who play sports.
We're talking to the president of the NCAA, Mark Emmert, here on the David Kaplan Show on WGN Radio. What would you say is the long-term viability of the current makeup of the NCAA? Because you have, you know, I heard an athletic director say to me from a major school that plays BCS football in the South, he said, why should Florida Atlantic or some mid-major school have as much to say about football as we do, because we're the engine, we're the big driver of all the revenue. They want to break off and do their own thing. What do you think the long-term viability of the NCAA as it is today is?
Well, I think the viability of the organization overall is extremely good and extremely high, that it's going to be around for a long time. The composition within the NCAA, I think, is very likely to shift. So we've had, as recently as yesterday, where the Division I board was meeting yesterday and the day before, to talk about the composition of the various divisions and how to provide, especially the five major revenue conferences, greater latitude to decide the issues that are of most importance to them. So I'm really confident that within the next 6 to 9 months, you'll see a very different model of governance and the way the universities make decisions about what benefits are available to student athletes and what some of the recruiting rules are and the kind of latitude that the Big Five conferences have, because, you know, the budgets are so enormously different. You know, the difference between a high-resource university and a small-resource university inside Division I is enormous. Got schools with $5 million total athletic budgets and $155 million budgets, and those are very different worlds. So we're going to see a lot of change in the next handful of months, but I think that's just a reflection of the NCAA's willingness as an association, as the members are willing to adapt and change. They've done that throughout their 100-year history, and I suspect they'll do it for the next 100 years.
President of the NCAA, Mark Emmert, with us here on WGN Radio. Mark, what's been your opinion on conference realignment? Because I'll be honest, I haven't been a huge fan of schools like Maryland and Rutgers joining the Big Ten, and I get that it's an economic play, but as far as who do I want to see if I'm a Northwestern or Illinois or Michigan fan coming in to play a football game, Maryland and Rutgers are not going to register. What's been your opinion?
Well, there's a lot of ways to look at this. So there's the fan perspective that you're just describing, and, you know, I think when you watch the breakup of some of the great traditional rivalries in college sport, it's disappointing. There's no question about it. And you look at some of the realignments and you say, gee, I'm not sure how that geographic fit works here or there. And that's kind of frustrating. Clearly, this was about consolidation to create better media collections so that you can go to the marketplace and generate more revenue. And the revenue, as long as that money is spent to support student athletes, I think everybody thinks it's a great thing, and that's a good deal. The position of the association, we don't have anything to do with conference affiliations, as you probably know. That's up to the individual universities and the conferences. But the position of the association and the national office has always been, look, let's make sure that this, in one way or another, is good for student athletes. This doesn't have kids flying coast to coast. This doesn't create problems with their time and energy, and it helps them be successful. And some things have been useful in that regard, and some clearly haven't. So I guess at the end of the day, I'd describe it as a pretty mixed bag.
We're talking to the president of the NCAA, Mark Emmert, here on WGN Radio. Can you understand what people are frustrated where they see maybe rules that they go, boy, that rule seems like it's doesn't make sense here, but it's applicable over there? And I'll give you an example. There's a number of basketball events around the country that they are no longer allowed to be played on Division I campuses. One was benefiting the Lutheran Church in Indiana. There were some here in the Chicago area. And then yet, if the high school coaches decide they want to do the event, they could take it right back on the college campus to do it. The same recruiting advantage is gained, yet some people can do it and some can't. Can you understand when it frustrates some?
Oh, gosh, yes. You know, the rules, especially in Division I, are, I'll be polite, they're complicated and occasionally Byzantine. And, you know, it's kind of like the tax code. You know, they've accumulated over decades as the membership has resolved one problem or another. And every one of those rules was put in place because there was some serious sense need to create some prohibition or some allowance to allow schools or conferences or others to do something. The problem is that when they get all accumulated up, you know, they get all piled up, then they occasionally have a lot of unintended consequences. And so the membership has this past year worked hard to try and glean the rule book and clean up some of the messes in it. They made some great progress, but there's still a lot of things in there that are inconsistent and frustrating. And I know that the presidents and the athletic directors are deeply committed to trying to fix that, but I don't want to kid anybody and suggest it's all going to be fixed in the next year or so. It's going to take a long time, but they're making some great headway, and I'm impressed that they want to tackle those things.
I was telling a coach today that we were going to have you on, and he said, boy, can't wait to listen to that interview. His question that he wanted me to ask you was, would you say there are enough teeth in NCAA enforcement? He said, I play by the rules. He goes, I believe there are schools out there that go, I'll roll the dice, they're not going to catch me. What would you say to that?
Yeah, I think he's got a great point. You know, one of the things that I fear the most about college sports is that the coaches that are doing everything right, that are doing, you know, behaving by all the values that you and I and most people would support, feel like they're being played for a chump. You know, that's the worst thing that can possibly happen. So the NCAA and the national office, which is, you know, what I oversee, has dedicated almost double the number of resources to enforcement. The membership, all the universities and colleges out there want the rules enforced aggressively. But the fact is that, you know, we're a membership association. We're not a government entity. We don't have subpoena power. We don't have the force of law behind us. And so, you know, a lot of it depends upon the universities themselves exercising, you know, some serious oversight of their own programs. It's a self-governing body. It's not the FBI. It's not a police enforcement operation. And so, you know, people that are bound and determined to break the rules can get away with it at least for a while. But what we are seeing is that the association overall is more than willing to take on big programs and, you know, storied programs if they can demonstrate that, in fact, there's been violations. And there's a lot of people working really, really hard to make sure everyone follows the rules. It's something that we're all committed to, but surely I understand the frustrations people have when they think there's violations going on and they're not getting caught. You know, we need people to cooperate and say, yep, this is going on over here, and you need to get on top of it. And my staff only does the investigations. It's the membership itself that passes judgment on those schools that are accused of violations. But I think we're making some great headway there, but we still got a long way to go.
Mark, just real quick, we're up against the clock here, but Kane Coulter, Northwestern star quarterback, he put the letters AP and U on his wristband back in the main game early in the season, and he got some heat from that, I think both from inside the university and out. I kind of liked it because he, you know, there's a guy speaking up and he's trying to, you know, put out something that he believes in. His quote was, there needs to be a guarantee that players are not stuck with medical bills after they leave. Essentially, they're being hurt on the job with all the TV revenue being generated. They could use a portion to help the players if they need surgery down the line. What's your reaction to that?
I think that in this day and age, we need to make sure, the members need to make sure that they're doing everything they can to support the young men and women who play these games. Now, I want to be really clear, there is absolutely no sentiment for converting student athletes to employees and having them be paid unionized members of the employment base of a university. But on the other hand, there's certainly a lot of interest in providing student athletes with the kind of support they need to be successful in life, and that includes the kind of medical and health and safety safeguards that are out there, the kinds of things they need to have an opportunity to be successful academically, and to make sure that they can support themselves while they're a student, as a student, not as an, you know, not as an employee, but as a student. And part of the governance debate that's going on right now is also about making sure that schools that have resources can find ways to support their student athletes. And I think that's a great debate, and I'm excited that it's going on.
Hey, we appreciate you taking time as we let you go. I'll tell you, somebody who you guys should utilize as a great resource to speak for you is Juwan Howard. We had him on this show for a half hour. I had him on my TV show for 45 minutes. And I said, should you be paid? They sold Juwan Howard jerseys. He said, no. I got a degree from a great school, the University of Michigan. I used that platform they gave me, TV and otherwise, to springboard myself to a 19-year NBA career, and I made $200 million. He said, I'm telling you, no, they shouldn't pay me. I knew what I was signing up for, and it got me to where I am today. That's the type of message I think the NCAA should be trumpeting out there.
I couldn't agree more with you. I think that's a great way to end the segment.
All the best to you, Mark. We appreciate you taking time to talk to us.
Hey, thanks, guys. Have a good week, and go Wildcats, huh?
There you go. All the best to you.
Thanks a lot, Mark.
The David Kaplan Show on the Voice of Chicago 720 WGN.
And on your app, WGNRadio.com.